You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast. It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto only at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, he hasn't been a head coach at any level since 2014. The last time this show cared about him was when he shocked the world by shaving his eyebrows in 2010. But with a new contract to be the next head coach at the University of Indiana, Dan, make no mistake about it, Mike Woodson is back. Woody, Sister Jean, can't win the big one. Coach K, Celtics, collision course. Dan, you know what the K in Coach K stands for? It stands for Celtics. The K's. Dolphin moves. Love them. What do you think they mean by them? Vanderbilt pitcher Jack Leiter on fire. And I'm not talking about his pitching. Can't start a fire without a lighter, Dan. Jack Leiter, by name alone, is not only a guy I want on my pitching staff, but also someone I want to be my best friend. Mick Cronin's teams wear steel-toed work boots as their team shoe. If you lace them up against a Mick Cronin team, wear a helmet, because you just got yourself into a rock fight. Mick Cronin smiled because one of his players was bleeding. An extra session only means extra blood to Mick Cronin. Mick Cronin took a bath after the game, a blood bath. Empty arena games are perfect for Mick Cronin. He prefers if no one hears you scream. Smart to Marquette. I had no idea he was out at Texas. Quite the shocker.
Where's Dan?
Well, what happened there? Rick Pitino, Texas, collision course. Rick Pitino to Texas, an adventure, 10,000 years in the making. Sister Jean didn't pray hard enough. Back to Jack Leiter for a second. What I'm saying is,
that's too far on Sister Jean.
What do you mean? Sister Jean, no. When they won the first two games, the headline was Sister Jean prays before the game, and Loyola Chicago goes on to win. When they lose, no one blames Sister Jean. They blame those kids. And so I'm going to blame her. She didn't pray hard enough. No, the kids get none of the credit. They get all the blame, okay?
You got to take it easy. I saw Sister Jean is on Cameo.
Yeah.
And one of the fans of our show requested she do a supodity read, calling it the number one podcast on the planet.
Yeah.
She declined the request.
Really?
Wow.
She didn't pray hard enough. And you want me to be nicer? She declined my request?
Well, you didn't make the request. A fan was making it.
Perhaps I did. burner Cameo account.
I'm pretty sure it was mistakes.
Who are you to judge people for not doing cameos?
You're right. There's 40-some-odd I didn't do. Thanks, Bill. Always there for me. Back to Jack Leiter for a second. What I'm saying is, even if he wasn't any good at pitching, I'd still want him on my staff because he has a cool name. Just wanted to be clear. The problem with college basketball is the sport's biggest star is a 102-year-old lady.
Sugats, can you get the notes away from your camera?
No.
So we can push it to social. You're blocking the camera view with
observations. I'm very sorry about that. The other problem is 24-16 at the half. Jack Leiter would be a cool name for a character in an action movie. Keanu Reeves is back as Jack Leiter. Sister Jean, do it in a big game. Death, taxes, and James Dolan acting like James Dolan. Doc Rivers said the Lakers and the Clippers are still the two best teams in the West. Some advice, Doc. Worry about the East. Norman Powell paying instant dividends. Rick Carlisle was wowed by Zion. I'm wowed by what a bust he is. Carlisle said he's Shaq with point guard skills. Rick, you might be right, but here's the difference. The hand Shaq dribbles with has four rings on it. The hand Zion dribbles with has none. It doesn't have a Final Four. It doesn't have a winning record. It doesn't have a playoff appearance. It has nothing. And it's a bit chubby. What happened there? Mike, you put that in there? By the way, Shaq, that hand should have more than four. You know what the S in Shaq stands for, Dan? It stands for should have more. Gonzaga, off to the quietest 29-0 start in NCAA history. The Orlando Magic have made their team disappear. U.S. men's soccer failed to qualify for the Olympics for the third straight time. Soccer, dead as a doornail, flatlined when Mike failed to book Beckham. Jazz and Suns are the two best teams of the West, and I haven't heard a single person say they are coming out of the West. Allow me to be the first. The Jazz are winning the West. The Suns are not, because they have Chris Paul. Alvin Kamara said a 17-game season is dumb. Alvin, I know dumb. I lead the league in dumb. This, not dumb. NFL players, the problem is you always complain after the fact. Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, so we're clear. Your seasons are over. Nothing else counts. They've already been registered in my personal record book. DeSean Jackson said he had other options, but he wanted to play in Sean McVay's offense. God, that's going to look awesome for the three games DeSean plays this season. John Mara thinks Daniel Jones looks like a Super Bowl-winning quarterback if he only played like one. Danny Dimes, death, taxes, and Lewis Hamilton. Patino, at a program referred to as the Longhorns, makes sense. You know, horns, the devil, hell, or Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Anybody have experience laying down new sod in a backyard? Not physically laying it down, like just doing it and like evaluating like the process of it. Like that was my backyard, just full of weeds. Now it's grass, and I'm just like, the guy said it takes like 3 weeks for it to like... Because right now it's starting to look a little dead in areas, and I'm just like watering it like crazy. I'm just freaking out because I spent a lot of money on it. So now I'm just like freaking out.
We have no grass in the side of the yard. And it doesn't help that there's a tree that's blocking the sun, so it's not getting any light.
Light's important, Roy.
Thank you, Chris.
You know what's also important?
What's that,
water.
Chris?
Water.
Yes, water.
You know what's also important? Love.
I'm giving it love and attention.
You talk to it?
Do
you
talk to it? I'm like, yeah,
you know how many blades of grass that he has to talk to?
I talk to every single one individually.
Use a megaphone on that, I guess.
How are you doing today, baby? Sweet talk it.
If people say that, but like, do you ever think, stop to think, How do we know plants speak English? What if it speaks German? Or what if you speak German and it doesn't and it just sounds like you're angry all the time?
My mother-in-law speaks German. Maybe I should have her come over and...
Yeah, just yell at your grass. I love you in German, but it sounds like...
Not all Germans sound like Arnold to me.
Sounds like Arnold.
Arnold isn't even German.
He's from Brussels.
No, that's
JCVD. JCVD is from Brussels.
Van Damme is
Brussels.
He's from Brussels.
Chris, what kind of grass? What kind of grass do you have?
I mean, grass.
Just the normal.
Grass. There are types of grass. I mean,
yeah. I mean, there's regular grass, and then there's things that are more exotic.
Sativa.
Oh, you were just trying to go for the joke.
Maui Wowie. I mean,
that's what I thought. That's who got to what Mike was talking about. This guy is also a weed guy. I was like, oh, really?
The purple yum yum, the chocolate chip cookies. Oh, my favorite. They come in very colorful bags now. I don't know if the last time you brought grass, bought gas. I can't speak.
You can call it gas.
Bought grass.
Stugatz, are you?
Keep it all.
Are you an edible guy?
No, I don't like
very
the edibles.
Clearly from the last 5 seconds.
I don't like the edibles at all. I had an experience with an edible at a restaurant in New York City where the guy, the chef of the restaurant, gave me a chocolate chip cookie. He told me to eat a quarter of it. I ate a quarter of it. He said, you're going to have to wait 90 minutes. And I'm very impatient. And so 90 minutes went by. I wasn't feeling anything. And so I ate another half. And then an hour later, I started to feel everything. And I was curled up. I had to leave the restaurant because I was drooling. I was sitting in the back. I couldn't talk to anyone. I was mush. And my wife took me back to the apartment we were staying at. And I was curled up in the fetal position for the entire time. And so that's the last time I've ever taken an edible. I do not like them. No.
I took an edible on election night by accident, though. I was bar hopping in New York.
Yeah.
On election day, I said at like 1 o'clock, and by like 9 o'clock, we still didn't have an answer. And I was kind of just, you know, looking for the next place to go. And my cousin hands me, he says, here, have some of this. And I didn't even think twice. I just grabbed it and I just ate the whole thing. It was a gummy. And he's like, no, not the whole thing. I said, what'd I eat? It was like, it's an edible. I'm like, oh, but I forgot about it pretty quickly. So we go to the next place and we're sitting down and the drink comes out and I take one sip and all of a sudden everything hit me. And I said, am I that drunk? Like, there's no way I'm that. I've been drinking since 1 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. But somehow I felt something was off. Like, I can't be this drunk. So I look at my cousin and said, have I had a lot to drink tonight? He says, no, but you did eat that edible. And I said, oh no. And the world just literally started melting in front of me like a painting where someone just thrown water on it. You're just dripping. And so I said, I got to get out of here because I'm not going to be carried out as the guy who couldn't hold his liquor. That's embarrassing, right? It's the edible that's doing this. So I got up and I tried to walk out coolly, but instead I turned to my cousin. I whispered in his ear, I got to go back to my hotel. I'm not feeling well. Walk out and I try to walk coolly, but instead I just kept banging against the bar like the whole time, like a bumper car, right? I get outside, I walk up to the corner, I throw up right there, right in the middle of the street, cross the street, walk into my hotel, get up the elevator, walk into my room, throw up there. Then I go to sleep and I wake up at like 3 in the morning. No, it's like 4 in the morning. I have no shirt on, but my shoes are still on and I have no idea where I am. And I look at my phone and there's 112 missed calls.
Oh my God.
What?
And so
it's a bit above average.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I call, it's my cousin. So I call and he says, where the hell are, where are you? He's like panicking. I said, man, I got up because I wasn't feeling well. I told you I was going back to the hotel. He said, no, you didn't. You said, no, no, no. Walked out. He said, I thought you were going out for a breath of fresh air. And I realized, wait a second. Who won the election? And I'm literally looking around like, I have no idea. Maybe Trump won. Maybe Biden won. And so I'm afraid to check my phone because 4 years earlier, I slept on a red-eye flight. And when I woke up, like, I was like, let me see. Maybe Hillary made this great comeback. Like, nope, President-elect Trump. I was like, shit. So I was like, I'm not going to go through this again. So I decided to just avoid for the entire day. Just avoid the news, avoid Twitter. And it wasn't until I think someone said, oh, it's kind of crazy. They still haven't figured it out. I was like, what? We don't have a president yet? Good times.
That's I was going to say, if you woke up and you had an answer as to who won, then this lasted over a week. I mean, and this wasn't just one bad night.
It's a hell of an edible. What would it sound like if Barack Obama took an edible?
He's kind of like me, I guess.
Well,
that's all you got?
That'd be a fun person to get high with, huh?
Barack Obama?
Yeah. Stugatz, pass the kush.
Puff, puff, give.
I like a little King Louis. It's smooth and satisfying. Now, Governor McConnell.
Keep going. He doesn't want you to get high.
It's okay. Keep going.
he prefers the powder. A little nose candy. A little pure Bolivian.
Booger sugar.
Booger sugar.
Some nasal basil.
Sassy molasses.
Some nasal basil.
Let's get all the cocaine nicknames out there, please.
Toot. Some sneeze. Now, Michelle likes to call it grit. Sometimes gravel. A little flake. A little dust. These are terrible.
We emptied the clip on the funny nicknames.
I like where you're headed, though, with what Michelle likes to refer to.
That Trump speech was an SNL skit. Did anyone watch that? I don't want to get into the politics of it. He does a 2.5-minute speech, and you're thinking he's at this like banquet because he's like pointing out like, yeah, you would have run the corona. You would have handled corona like I did. And then 2 minutes in, he's like, the happy couple here. It's just like he was doing a wedding speech. He did 2 minutes on just like Biden and just like you thought he was doing just a regular banquet. And then after 2 minutes, he's like, by the way, you guys are a great couple. You're going to have a happy life together. It's like, oh, my God, this was a wedding?
For the toast, he's like, miss me. The toast was miss me yet. It's a guy that has sorely been missing a microphone over the last few months. Like, what a great idea to take Twitter away from that gentleman. It is absolutely killing him. He just wandered into a wedding reception.
Nothing is killing him more than
He hates it. Yes. He puts out these press releases from the desk of the 45th president thinking that it matters. And is like so severely missing that outlet.
I've got the transcript. And it says, you know, I turned off the news. I get all these flash reports, and they're telling me about the border. They're telling me about China. They're telling me about Iran. How are we doing with Iran? How'd you like that? Crowd boos. And I'm just thinking, like, this is someone's wedding. That's what they wanted for their wedding? Like, most people want a DJ. Some people get a live band. These people got Donald Trump to bitch about, like...
Do you think that's one of the packages, like the premium alcohol package? Like, hey, just for $1,200 more, you can have the 45th president of the United States come here and complain for a little bit.
Tell you about Iraq.
Do you think it makes a DVD that the videographer sends out?
You can have Pyro, or you can have 45 come here and get something off his chest, whatever you prefer.
Like, just the comedic timing of like him referencing the wedding like 2.5 minutes into the speech. It was just so good.
Wait, you're at a wedding and not CPAC? What is this?
I mean, it's crazy. Like the first four paragraphs are about China. And then he starts talking about conditions in South America and humanitarian disasters.
He played all the hits. He hit every topic. You thought it was a political speech. And then at the very end, he's like, by the way, y'all are be great together.
It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to have you at Mar-a-Lago. You're great and a beautiful couple. The end.
That was it?
That was the only
line about the couple?
I remember my first four of these. They were great. Careful. And prenuptial agreement.
It's at Mar-a-Lago, so he owns the venue. So, like, was this... Maybe this was part of the package. Gold package.
Did you get Yayo in?
Yayo. By the way, I can read this speech, Donald Trump's speech, in Obama's voice.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Boy, they were ready to make a deal. They would have done anything. They would have done anything. And this guy goes and drops sanctions, and he says, we'd love to negotiate now. And Iran says, we're not dealing with the United States at all. Oh, well, they don't want to deal with us. China, the same thing. They never treated us that way, right? You saw what happened a few days ago. It was terrible. And the border's not good. The border is the worst that anybody's ever seen it. What you see now, multiply it times 10, Jim.
He said Jim.
He just dropped a Jim in there.
He had a friend in the audience.
Jim is the groom, it would appear.
No, the groom is John.
Oh. What a surprise you got the name wrong. I mean.
He's just shouting out Jim.
Oh, that's great.
You would know how to handle it. He's the only one I know who would handle the border tougher than me. We have to. And the tough is in the most humanitarian way, because that's what it is. What's happening to the kids? They're living in squalor. They're living like nobody has ever seen anybody.
Such a Trump line.
Surprised you know squalor, quite honestly.
There's never been anything like hold on, this line doesn't make sense. There's never been anything like what's and you're gonna have hundreds and you have it now. They have the airplane photos. The shocks, and they call them shocks. And these things, I can't read this.
And they call them. I love that.
When he thinks he may have just said something like, oh, they say that, I don't say that.
I for me, that's more his device for when someone explained to him what shocks were, and he was so amazed by it. I'm going to tell everyone this is what shocks are.
They call them shots.
Like, this is the sentence. This is one sentence. I'm going to read it in a regular voice because I can't do it. What's happening to the kids? They're living in squalor. They are living like nobody has ever seen anybody. There's never been anything like what's, and you're going to have hundreds, and you have it now. They have the airplane photos, the shocks. And they call them shocks. And these things are showing thousands and thousands of people coming up from South America. And it's going to be, it's just, look, it's a disaster. That is one sentence.
No punctuation. Good luck to the married couple.
Whatever the fuck your names are.
Jack.
Jim, Jack. James. Jack has, doesn't matter. All right, Amin, how much of this can we use?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, what are you comfortable with?
Okay, not the Sasha Malia part.
Yeah, we took that out already.
Yeah, but about your edible, are you cool with all that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a long story, so I don't know how much people want to hear that, but.
No, people want to hear
drug stories, I think people want to hear that.
Be just conservative. Well, not conservative.
Yeah,
liberal with your edit.
I'll probably take the bit where you say that Q people are going to abduct other people. As
You have been carried out. You've been carried out.
That was an important part of the story, though.
I wanted to ask, were you hallucinating that? Because that doesn't seem likely that.
No, that's real. That was a real thing. On election night, they were saying, like, if this shit doesn't go the way they want, that was a thing that was going to be happening. They were going to be roving gangs. In New York, I put on Instagram, all the stores, everybody like boarded up all the buildings. They were getting ready for the apocalypse. They're getting ready for this election is going to make people go crazy. And it's New York City. It's not even like Atlanta or Houston or something like that. But everyone was terrified that there was going to be like this backlash.
Yeah, in some ways, the result taking 4 days to arrive kind of cooled the temperatures by the time the result
smoothed it out. Yeah. Like what happened at the Capitol building, we thought it was going to happen everywhere.
I mean, have you been the hammered guy carried out of the bar before?
No, I've never been carried out. I've never been carried out. No.
Chris?
I actually haven't. I know you go to me next there because I'm probably the most likely candidate. The most drunk I've been, honestly, was the PFBI gala thing like 4 or 5 years ago where I had a brunch on a Sunday, got hammered with unlimited mimosas, and then ended up on my
parents' bathroom floor.
What happened to golf?
You got drunk at the golf tournament. You started heckling.
Well, no, that wasn't. I wasn't that drunk that day. I just one guy heard me yell VJ Singh, and then like it became a thing. Like I was running around the golf course just yelling VJ Singh the entire day. And so I just kind of ran with that. But it was
no
really
shirt
just
on.
It was just one. VJ Singh was the biggest star at that. The Honda Classic is just famously a bad field, and so I was just overly excited to see VJ Singh because I actually knew who he was.
That's a horrific field, by the way. VJ Singh is your biggest star.
I'm telling you, it was like Justin Thomas and VJ Singh.
But you were heckling him the entire time.
I don't know. Yep, I followed him the whole time.
Amin, what? So I want to hear about Mike Tyson. You say he's the greatest interviewer in media right now. I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't know Tyson was doing interviews. What happened there?
So he has a podcast called, was it called Hot Boxing? Because he smokes weed and he also is a boxer, right?
Right.
Really witty. And so, but he interviews all types of people. He's interviewed, you know, athletes and music stars. And he actually had Bruce Buffer on the other day. But for most of these people, some of these are like really intimidating people. But when they sit down, Mike Tyson can call them out on their shit. Like in a way that no other person can. Because who's gonna object? So he asks a question, and if your answer is bullshit, he's gonna call you out and say that's a bullshit answer, and he'll re-ask the question. And because it's Mike Tyson, you're terrified, so you just answer the question. Any other like Oprah, if whoever are the great interviewers, right, that we see in the world, like none
Chris
of them
Cody.
Have anything on Mike because they don't have that intimidation factor, where you just feel the need to speak the truth. They had Boosie on. It was a rapper, and during the pandemic, he had a lot of these Instagram Live videos where he would just tell girls, like, show me your tits or other parts, right? And Mike was like, why do you do that? He says, well, you know, it's just fun. I was like, no, there's some hurt going on there. And he just basically browbeats the guy into admitting, like, he had a rough childhood and had stuff done to him when he was a kid, and that's why it was coming out. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, any other interviewer, the guy would have just got up and walked out.
Right.
At least. Like, I'm not doing this. Unclip Mike, walk out.
But you can't do that, Tyson, right?
No. No. No.
Why are you doing that, Boothie?
I thought he was talking about John Buchagross. Wait, but that's an interesting element where you're intimidated by the person who's interviewing you. Therefore, you feel inclined, A, not to get up, B, to tell the truth. And if you don't, he's just going to stare at you until you do. I mean, right?
But look, Stugatz, there was one where he, like, the guy was trying to, he was a boxer, a young boxer. And Mike was asking him why he wasn't, you know, whatever. And the guy says, well, you know, it's politics or whatever. And Mike lights up this huge J, takes a long pull, and tells this story about, like, him when he was a young boxer. And someone had said to him something along the lines of, yeah, that's why you'll never be a great. And so I broke his nose right there. And, like, the story had, like, a real violent end to it. So he takes another pull. He says, so I ask you again, why don't you think you're as great as you? And then the kid gives, like, well, you know, he starts giving like a real answer. And I'm just like, why? He just literally threatened the guy into getting this answer.
With a hit of weed and re-asking the question.
He just told a story about breaking some guy's nose and then goes back and asks the question again.
He doesn't settle until he gets the answer he wants. Essentially.
But it's a real answer. It's the funny
no,
thing is like he gets the, it's not like he's just searching for you to say the right thing. He's searching for you to give him an answer that's not bullshit.
So people will just start coming into whatever forum they're on the podcast with Tyson, and they'll just start telling the truth because he said, like, yeah. you can't lie to Mike Tyson. You can't do it. Funny.
But he had Bruce Buffer on, and Bruce Buffer, I don't know if you guys know this, he never knew Michael Buffer growing up. He didn't know that was his brother until he was, like, 30 years old.
Yeah.
He was, Bruce Buffer said, like, he was just working in telemarketing or something. And Michael Buffer was coming on the scene, and
what?
People were saying, hey, are you related to that guy? And Bruce Buffer was like, no, I think it's just, like, it's a coincidence we have the same last name. But he said, every time I see him, I'm thinking there's something there. So he says, one day, he's in a car with his dad. He's on a road trip. And he says, hey, Dad, you hear about this Michael Buffer guy? Like, are we related? And his dad says, oh, yeah, I think he might be your brother. And it turns out, like, his dad had been married earlier when he was a young man. He went to He was he went to war. He was in the army, got married, had this kid, and then when he came back from the war, divorced. The kid was like 2 years old, and then started a new family, obviously with you know, Bruce's mother or whatever. And so they ended up like tracking him down, and they had dinner, and it's like, yeah, this guy's your brother. You're related. And now Bruce Buffer does the voice intro stuff too. I mean, the guy wasn't even in the industry until he figured out Michael Buffer was his brother.
It didn't really take him long. He's like, all right, you're my brother. I'm going to do exactly what you do.
Right, exactly. Wait, I'm doing this. You've had success saying one sentence. All right, I'm going to do that now.
Stugatz, what would be, if you found a long lost sibling that you never knew about?
Oh boy.
What would be the profession that you would literally drop everything you're doing now and start doing what he's doing?
Wow. That's a great question. I don't know if there's any, I don't know if there's anything I'd rather be doing than this, but let me think for a second.
World class golfer, and he needs a caddy.
I don't think
this is your chance to get to Augusta.
No, I know, but I feel like I can get to Augusta regardless.
Okay.
Although I've never been.
It hasn't worked out for you yet.
I was going to say, you keep saying that, yet you've never been, but you're so confident in your ability to go there.
You feel better about your chances now, despite the fact that you no longer work with a worldwide leader.
I feel better about my chances. Billy, I could just pay for them. That's why I say I could go there, but I refuse to for whatever.
Okay, so being a caddy for the top golfer in the world, isn't it?
I don't know if I'd rather be a caddy. If you're telling me I could be a professional golfer, then yes, a caddy to a golfer as opposed to doing this. I have to give all of this up, right?
Yeah, but the game is like to follow your brother around.
Right.
Follow in their footsteps, I guess.
Is he a good golfer?
I'm making him the top golfer in the world.
All right, I'd leave this to be the caddy for the top golfer in the world. I would imagine Tiger's caddy at the height, Steve Williams, at the height of Tiger being Tiger, was making seven figures, having the time of his life. So that's it. I would leave to be a caddy. That would be... Why are you making that face, Amin? A caddy's a nice job.
Seven figures, though? I don't know about that.
Why? You get 10% off the top, I think, of winnings. You get 10% of whatever the guy wins. So if Tiger won $10 million a year, which I assume that he did, then he's making $1 million, plus whatever Tiger gives him.
To carry some bags around?
Yeah.
No, it's not just that, man. You're being so myopic. No, it's
tell him, Mike.
Yeah. It's beyond that. They come to you for advice.
Yes.
I mean, it's basically having a coach out there with you on the links. So that's why...
Tiger Woods, how much advice does he need?
That's true. But let's just make the top golfer in the world in desperate need of coaching.
Right. The guy who takes advice, the guy who wants your advice, the guy who says, hey, put down that 7-iron, use the 8-iron. Does that change everything?
When you're Tiger's caddy, you're always just getting blamed when your yardage is wrong. Like if he goes long on a hole, it's just like you look at the caddy. Well, you're 5-iron, huh? Well, you're fired. That's a Happy Gilmore.
Happy.
Yeah, it's a Happy Gilmore, yeah.
Thank you.
Really hitting all the Adam Sandler references.
Yeah.
What would you leave this to do, Amin? It's a tough question, I'm telling you. That's why I had to think about it. Like Mike came up with maybe the only scenario in which I would leave this to do something else, and it's to be a caddy.
If my long lost sibling
right
was in, I know. If my long lost sibling was, that's a good question, man. Like everything I think about, like I think I can do whatever. Right, that's the whole thing. Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you, Stugatz. It's not
necessarily but you have to have an ancestor who's already made their way, okay? Made fame, made riches, made a fortune doing something they do. You have an easy path into it now, nepotism, okay? You have an easy path into the field that they have chosen. What is a field that you would rather be doing than the one you're in right now? Like if you had an ancestor who owned an NBA team and made you the GM of that team, would that be it?
No. I wouldn't want to do
that. Really? No. Wow.
It would have to be something that would allow me to also make a ridiculous amount of money very fast. So maybe Wall Street, like something where somewhere I could go up and I'd still get paid, right?
Well, that's Wall Street. Yes.
Yeah.
So your dad, like you have an ancestor who owns a hedge fund and you would leave to go do that, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
What about porn?
I don't know if you want to follow in footsteps on that one.
Of someone who's already made it in porn.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.